Since I started this podcast, I got many requests related to the personal financing, personal investment, investment in general. So the scope of the podcast for so far is related to the corporate world, finance for non-finance. I am happy having you, Nitish, today, because today we're going to kick off the first section of investment. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Okay. Now, usually we introduce our guests through the purpose. So if you can elaborate more, what is your purpose in life, Nitish?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. But I think in general, I really love building things, and I really love to see the impact of those things on thousands of people. It doesn't have to be something that you make a business out of necessarily, but it's more like, you know, something which you have the ability to kind of create in terms of whether it be a product or anything which can have a certain kind of scale. And you see that thing rolling out and you see that changing people's everyday lives is something that really, really drives me. And I think that has been my experiences so far and my current experience as well, where the whole focus has been like trying to build something which actually creates a difference in people's lives, their everyday lives.
Okay. So your purpose is creating something from scratch.
Yes, yes.
And see these things flowering and growing every day.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But it doesn't have that when you build something, it grows, right?
I mean, sometimes
it goes stows.
Yeah. I mean, if you're lucky, it will grow. But luckily, I was working for an e-commerce company before this, and we kind of joined very, very early stage, and kind of saw building from like the scratch to where that company is today, serving millions of customers in the region. Like, I was really like happy and to see like what we created with our hands and with our kind of passion towards, you know, building those kind of products. And you see the kind of impact it creates in people's lives, and how when you start from a day where, you know, you have like 10 orders or you have 50 orders and you're still hustling, running, things are breaking, to a day where like thousands and thousands of orders are just flowing and you're just sitting and watching it, and you know, you're like, wow, this is something you built from the scratch up, and you see how people are using it. So I've been really an e-commerce person, to be honest, and then before I took this kind of finance turn to kind of build an investing platform. And yeah, and now my aim is to see how people kind of can change not just their shopping needs, but now more their needs which are related to their money and how they kind of can make sure that their money and their wealth grows.
Okay. So during building something, you know, there's different phases of building any business or even starting something from scratch.
Yeah.
One of these phases is you go to a situation that it is a low moment. You feel that whatever we're heading is not the right direction. You see the self-doubt in between.
Yeah.
How you manage to get out of this phase quickly while you're building something from scratch?
Okay. That's a very, very good question. Because I think the lows are many. Like whenever you start something and you're building in that journey, I think there are many, many lows. And I think if anybody starts it, they have to be ready to face it. But that doesn't mean that those lows have to stop you. Like, I think those lows have to either kind of teach you that, look, like maybe this direction that you were going on needs some tweaking, needs some polishing, needs some small changes or maybe major changes, but it's actually good that you came to know at the right time and now you can do something about it. Or it can be something where you're feeling low just because something happens situationally in that day or that 2 days, and you sometimes just need to give something some time for it to, you know, come out of it and stuff like that. So I think that's why it's okay to have low moments. We have many. Like, I think like every week there would be like a very, very low day and stuff like that. And I think another thing which is very, very important is to kind of surround yourself with good and positive people. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very, very important thing. Like my co-founder, Turkey, in my current company, Invesca, he is like a really, really like a ray of sunshine, I would say. Like, you know, so like if you talk to him, you're down, you're feeling something, you see how you can kind of support each other to kind of get out of that. So yeah, I think like these are the things which help you and keep you driven. I think as long as the passion and the motive that you are kind of doing is clear, I think you just need to kind of stand up and run again. Yeah.
Okay. So moving from the low moments to the starting point, I think in your since the end state now that you have an investment platform. We're going to discuss that later in the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But I believe this is not your first investment in life. Yes. If you can share your experience on your first $1 investment in general, yeah. How did you think about it? What was your feeling, expectation out of this investment, that your first ever investment, yeah. If you remember?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Actually, I'll start the answer for this question through like my family in general. I think a lot of my cousins and a lot of my family is based in the US. And I think in general, like there has been always this kind of aspect of Apple, Google, Tesla, these companies, what they're doing, what they're building. And you see people investing in their stocks and how their investments are growing. You read every day in news, they launch some product, they launch something, and their stock price grew, their stock price went down. I used to read these things. It used to really excite me because I'm a kind of a very, very core techie by heart. And I really just love building stuff, love technology, as I said. So I'm an avid reader of all these kind of things. So it always used to drive me. So I was like, I want to do it. So I think the real bell rang during COVID. That was the time when I was like, I really, really want to do this. Like, I have been reading about it and I've been trying to ask people while I was in Dubai. And I think there was like no kind of pull you would see among people. People don't talk about it. If you try to ask some people who do it, they do it in a very, very traditional sense. And then, you know, like the things which push you far off, like you want to start something, but then there are these barriers in your way and which are pushing you back. And that's what's happening with me for a long, long time. But like during COVID, I decided, I made up my mind. I was like, no, like whatever the barriers are, I got to start. I got to try it out. So that was the time I actually started onboarding on one of the platforms, which there was no local platform as such. Like there were banks, of course, but I never wanted to be on a bank app to kind of invest in stocks. So you see the commission fees and you run away. So I wanted to try something. So there was an American platform which was still kind of running here. They had some small commissions. It was a very, very traditional platform, but I really wanted to give it a go. So I started onboarding on that platform. Like, it was a nightmare. Like, to get from that point to thinking about investing to actually being able to invest in that app was a total, total nightmare. But even like when I did that kind of nightmare and started investing and made my first investment, I still remember, like, I felt it was magic. Like, I honestly felt like I'm sitting in my room. I just like put money in like Apple. I got Apple stock. I'm an investor in Apple. And then there's this prospectus that comes to you when you're invested in a stock. You get voting rights. You get to vote for certain decisions. And I was like, wow, this is like amazing. Like, I just love it. So I think like that was the time when it started. And that was the time I was like, okay, look, I had crazy number of barriers to be able to even invest. And even after that, the product I'm using is like such a bad traditional product. It's just like you can build a gorgeous product. You can build a product which really teaches people. You can build a product which is very, very easy to use and easy to like play around with. Like, why just a food delivery app is a nice one? You know, like, why can't an investing app be like that? And there were players existing outside this region, and like they were doing well, and like they were, but I don't know what was going on in this region. Like, there was like a big barrier. So that was the time I started doing my research. I started talking to a lot of people in the region, started talking to a lot of people, not just in UAE, but in Saudi Arabia as well, as Saudi Arabia is a very, very big market, and trying to understand the barriers, trying to understand the players, trying to understand in the regulatory aspects, the regulatory risks. I myself had to like, you know, like read a lot of legal aspects of things, like spend months reading and understanding what's going on. And then once, like, I think it was kind of getting clearer in the mind, like what's, you know, not available here or what's happening, how can we build it? Then I think for me, it was more about global kind of scenario, kind of something that I wanted to check. So then I started seeing a lot of products outside the region in the US, and then trying to understand what they are doing. And even what they are doing, where there are so many products, still there are people who are afraid to do their first investment. Still there are people who don't want to engage in platforms. So what can I do to kind of solve the problems which are even existing outside the region today and build something here, which I start from here, build here, and then try to see where it goes.
Okay. So your first $1 investment was this on American app, right?
Yes.
Traditional app.
Yes.
That was your first time ever to invest in U.S. stock market.
First time ever to invest in U.S. stock market. Yes, and my first investment was my most favorite company, Apple.
Apple. Okay. Yeah. So that's you put your first investment there.
Yes.
Did you check your stocks every one and then every 1 hour, 2 hours, or no?
It's not just 1-2 hours. Like the app used to be open in my hand. Like it was so exciting. Like because I'm telling you, like it just felt like very like for people who are in the US, it's a very normal thing. So they don't even consider it as something special. But for you who's like kind of outside the US market and you are becoming a shareholder in a company like Apple, really really excites you. So it was very very interesting to kind of see the aspects. And you know that's when you put your feet in is the time when you actually get excited to even learn concepts. Then you are like, okay, now I am in. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. So I want to learn about it. I want to see what short-term investment is. I want to see what dividend reinvestment is. You know, I want to learn all these kind of information. So it just helps you even learn so many different aspects, learn about different companies that exist in the world, learn about like, what are those companies doing right? What is an income statement? What is an earning call? It just like doesn't end. And like, it's just like an exciting world out there just to get into it, right?
Just quick reflection, because in the past episodes that we already published, we spent good quality of time educating and sharing the knowledge about the financial statements, the importance of understanding the value drivers of any organization, even if university and other aspects. So it goes nicely hand in hand with the concept of investing.
Yeah.
Since you have the basic foundation understanding of the financial, then you can go to the next level and go investing in that sense. Now, the new concept. Now I can see how the idea got evolved from a very traditional app with many barriers to invest to the concept of social investing. Yeah. That's a new concept.
Yes.
Can you just explain what does it mean, social investing?
Okay. I think social investing can have different kinds of definitions for different people, but I'll just try to explain in a simple sense, and then I'll come to what we are doing. So in a very, very simple sense, social investing is a platform where it's not just you with your money, but there are other people as well that you see and they see you. So it's something of the form where you can say that there is not just a self-guided product or a self-product. It's more like a product where you have some other people as well. You have the community as well, which you get to see. Now, in that concept, how that community is presented, what about that community is presented, how the interactions take place is completely depending upon who is building that product. Mm-hmm. So I think in general, the concept of social investing platform is what I kind of mentioned. But then which shape it takes place and what you build out of it as like, somebody who's kind of building that product is very different. So for me, when I started InvestSky, for me, the concept of social investing was to kind of solve two reasons. One of the main reason I wanted to solve is for the first-time investors. So I could see that even if you do a lot of guides, even if you do a lot of data, even if you do a lot of different things, a first-time investor is always scared. The first-time investor always wants to run away. And the reason being it's hard-earned money and he's not getting that push or that satisfaction in his mind that this is the right place for me to put my hard-earned saved money. So I think with a community comes in people that you know, comes in your friends and family, comes in the influencers maybe that you are aware of. So basically when you come to this kind of platform and you see the people who are part of your community or you have heard of or you are aware of and you see what they are doing, I think the motivation that brings in you, there is nothing matched parallel to that that can bring in you, you know, like that brings in you the motivation that, okay, if these people are doing it, I can learn from them. Or if my friend is doing, I can also do it. Like I can also see it. So that kind of thing, social investing kind of brings in. And I think it really helps to solve that barrier where you are scared and you are, because in our app, for example, you just come in and you just spend time. You don't have to start investing right away. You come in, you see what other people are doing. You just say, okay, next 1 month, I'm just going to learn. You just learn. You just spend time. You see what people are doing. You just ask them questions. It's a public platform. Whatever you want to ask, you ask them questions. Like, why are they investing in this stock? What are they doing? Like, what things are happening around that stock? So this was one aspect. And the second aspect, what I wanted to say, why I wanted to do social investing as well, was engagement. So I could even see in players existing outside the region, even in the US, there were people who were investors. Like, they're not like, I'm not talking about first-time investors right now. So there are people who are kind of investing and they put money. But they open the app once in a year. Like, they'll open the app, they'll put money in Apple, they'll put money in Tesla, or they'll set up some recurring setup of Tesla, Apple. They don't even know that, and they don't even open the app again. They're not concerned about what's happening with that company, but they are just making these safe bets into these kind of companies, and they know their money is growing, so they just don't want to open it again. So that learning aspect completely goes away. So you have no idea what is going on. So I really wanted to also solve this aspect where, like, why does a person feel okay to spend an hour on Instagram every day, but he doesn't feel okay to spend an hour on an app which is giving you similar information, but about finance, about companies, about their stats, what they're doing, what they're building. Like, if you can spend like hours on TikTok, you can spend hours on such an app as well. But of course, this product needs to be designed in a way, it needs to be done in a way that keeps that person engaged. But getting that engagement brings in a lot of kind of knowledge, which was also a lacking factor. So that's why I was like, okay, let's try to solve both of these things. And to solve both of these things came in the heart of social investing into the app. Yeah.
Yeah. A quick reflection. So spending hours on social media, which will not grow your wealth at any point of time.
I think it's not just about wealth. I think people like watch like TikTok for hours in a day, and then they realize, oh, I just wasted my day just watching TikTok videos. You know, like there is like educational content coming up on this platform, etc. But I think like there's a lot of viewing that happens, which is completely like for leisure or outside this kind of engagement aspects, and it's just not helping you grow money as you said at all, and like, it's not even taking you in any direction to kind of do that, you know? So why can't you kind of get into a platform where actually people are talking about these things and it drives your interest to actually do something about it?
Okay. So if I summarize, it's two main aspects, engagement and the social impact. I see other people doing something, then I'll not self-doubt myself and say, if they can do it, I can do it at the same time.
Yes.
Okay. If you just celebrate more, How the product, the social investing, make it easy for beginners if they are not expert. They can spend 1 month watching, asking questions, but again, they will never be an expert in investing.
Yes.
In that sense.
I think
what kind of tools you provide to make it an informed decision for beginners to start their first dollar investment?
I think one thing to note about this question in general is like, you don't need to be an expert. So I think like that is the starting factor of investing, is like, you don't need to be an expert at all. Like, you don't even need to be near being an expert to start investing, you know? Like, but I think you need to get driven in a certain direction to be like sure in your mind that what you're doing is correct. And I think for that reason, as I mentioned, social is one factor which helps you. And the other factor is the correct data points. So for us right now, like one of the biggest piece that we have worked on and we are constantly working on is improving our data offering. So we basically try to give you all the different kinds of aspects that you need to know about the stock, and you never need to go away anywhere else. Like, there are so many websites today, there's so much data online there today. Like people basically get so confused because they search, they see like 20 articles, they see these 20 websites saying something else. It's just like a whole haphazard fashion that exists there. For me, it was important that the kind of offering in terms of data that you see in the app is something that is a polished, clean, easily digestible information that you see, so that it's not just something that's just lying outside there which you don't even understand, but there is something that you can actually see and understand and fully get aware as to what does that mean. So on our app, we try basically to tell you about company, what all information you have, what all brands that companies own, what are the constituents of that company, which sectors those company belong to. Then we also try to give you information about different events that are affecting that company. So you get to know, okay, this company is now participating in this conference on this date. Maybe they're announcing something new that day. This company is having an earnings call such day. This company is giving out dividends on this date. So you have all those events part of the app. Then you also have a part of the app, analyst rating. So if you see analyst ratings in general on online, everywhere, free available analyst rating, it's more like an analyst rating where they tell you, okay, 80% of analysts say buy, so it's buy, you know? And I was one of those people kind of looking at that, and I was like wondering, what does this even mean? Like, how can you, which are these 80% people who are just telling you to buy this stock? Like, what is going on? You know, so it's very important for a person to know, okay, this is the combined data, fine. But I really want to know what's happening behind this data. And this is something that we give on our app where you see, okay, this guy from JP Morgan is saying that this stock should be worth $120. And he is saying that this is a strong buy from his end. So this is one particular analyst that is giving this price rating and is giving this price target. And this is what you clearly are seeing over there, what's going on. So it just gives you that clarity layer where it's not just some numbers lying there, but you have the complete prospect about how that number kind of got built. So these are some of the things that we have kind of given per kind of stock to kind of give you that information. And there are a lot of other things in the pipeline right now that we are planning that will make this seamless as we go ahead. And other than this, there is a lot of information related to different aspects of investing also in the app, which is the more general knowledge building aspects as to what are dividends, what are dividend reinvestment, what is a PE ratio, for example, what does an earning call consist of, like who are the people who participate in that earning call, you know. So different kinds of data, different kinds of things related to general investing principles are something that we have put right in our app, and we try to, you know, put GIFs around it and stuff just to make it more kind of interesting for you, more ingestible for you, so you can, you know, like not just read like long pages of like sheet which will bore you, but something that can keep you excited or entertained or something like that.
I would like to add here, Nitish, that in addition to the trends, you can see 6 months, 5 years, 10 years, whatever history of the share price. On the analyst feedback, you add the date as well, when exactly they declare this analysis, because it's like the balance sheet, it's a point of time. Maybe I declared that.
That's very right, yeah.
2 weeks ago, but now I have a new update. So exactly, you can link it on their views that the share price will go to X, but that was 1 month ago.
Yes.
And you can see the trend, and you can build your judgmental call based on that. Yeah. You don't just follow in that sense.
That's a very good point you brought in, because usually you see on sites like 80% people are saying to buy this stock, and you have no idea when those people actually said that you should buy this stock. So if you get to know the date, because it's really possible from that day till now, a lot of big things have happened to the company, like a lot of things change in that company. So that rating is no more valid, you know? So it's very, very important to kind of have those aspects as well, to have a clear knowledge of what's going on.
Yeah. In addition to that, even the analyst feedback, it's apple to apple comparison. It's not like comparing apple with the orange.
Yes.
So you can see in the same company view, the trend in terms of point of time analysts, what's the name of the analyst? And then exactly what their expectation as share price with the same currency for that particular company.
Yes.
So you can have a holistic view. And the beauty about that, you can link it with the news. So any news related to that company.
Yes.
Away from the analysts, general news.
Yes.
And you can see the headlines only. You can click and see the details of that.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, for a beginner, you can have an overview on the, like, 15 or 10 analysts based on the views.
Yes.
And then you have the news based on the date.
Yeah.
So you can have a holistic picture.
Of course.
What exactly should be going on there.
Yeah.
And then that's your best estimate. You never know what will happen in the market.
Yeah, that's
it's a risk. You have to take it as well.
And I think, like, as you mentioned, like, we have traditional news that you kind of see if what's happening with a company, and then you have the analyst ratings. I think when it comes to news, that's also a very, very interesting topic, because in general, news can be confusing to people, and news can be too much to kind of consume, etc. So for news in general, there is one concept which we kind of have on our app right now, which is more about a price movement alert. So it's basically when you see certain companies moving up and down a big percentage value, we basically put in a two-line description on that stock. As for that, you know, why is that stock moving? So you don't even need to go into the news and get like loaded with those news. You just go and see, okay, Apple is up 8% today. What's going on? Okay, Apple announced their headset, so they're that's why that sentiment is making the boost happening, although the price went down. But I'm just giving an example here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So based on the informed decision that we covered in the previous section. Now, if you heard any story on someone that made the $1 investment and now not exactly $1, a small amount in investment, and this person got the opportunity to have a massive growth as an opportunity, and another person has a massive decline. And if you can share some learning out of that in general.
Yeah, okay, sure. So I think on our platform, what I have observed so far is most of the people who are kind of come so far are mostly people who are starting their first time investment journeys in the US stock market. I think for people, because the barriers were so many until now, I think like there is a huge chunk of people who were away from something which they wanted to be part of. So now that this is something coming to life, I think they feel like they really want to be a part of it. So that's why I see a lot of people kind of coming in who are starting their journey first time, and they're very excited. And you see the kind of questions they ask our support team. It's very, very exciting. Like I sometimes jump in and kind of try to answer them. It's just so amazing to see like people are really, really excited to, you know, like get into something and see it grow. Now, coming to the part where, you know, like, because it's investing, of course, investing comes with risks. So one should not believe that it's a money minting business. There is no scam happening here. It's like companies. You're putting money in companies. Companies can go up. Companies can go down. Their sentiments can move around. Whatever can happen. So there are ways you can reduce your risk. There are ways you can divide your risk. But that's something else as a topic. But I think one time where I kind of saw like a lot of growth happening is like I remember there were two or three people during the bank crisis that was happening in the US. Silicon Valley Bank kind of got finished. The FRC Bank was kind of gone, and during that time there was crazy volatility in the banking stocks, whether it be PACW Bank or it'd be like all the other banks that was happening. So I think at that point of time, the kind of activity on our app like grew a lot, because I think people were just having fun. And I was scared. Like I was like, the volatility is very, very high. So like it's the time to be kind of really careful about what's going on.
Mm.
But that was the time where I saw like some people, like I'm not at all a supporter of this, but I'm just giving you information about like some people who were kind of went crazy during that day. And I think we did a tweet about that as well from our handle, because we were surprised to see like there are people in minutes who made 120%, 140% in minutes, because the volatility of those banking stocks at that point of time was so crazy. And the people I'm talking about were students, and they were like first time investors, like, and like they just were so excited to see that. But the smart part about that was that, of course, like it's a very volatile stock, like you have to be careful and you don't really go that route. But it just, because they had belief in that bank or in that banking stock, they knew this is just happening for momentarily kind of sentiment kind of causing these kind of things. So I really saw like those stocks grow up. But then on the other hand, as Silicon Valley Bank kind of went down, got finished, FRC got finished.
Exactly.
Like there were people who had stock, who had money in these kind of stocks.
Vanished.
And also when these stocks were really, really trading at a very, very low price, they put in more money because they thought like, it's going to come back. It's a bank. Like Silicon Valley Bank was serving most of the startups in the US. Like there was no chance. People were like, something will happen. Like although their balance sheet was not supporting it, but people were like, something will happen. Like government will come in. You know, but at the end of the day, these stocks died, like they've got finished, it died. And like there was like huge losses. And like I remember seeing somebody lost like in Silicon Valley Bank over 90% of what they had invested. So I think it's important to know that things can go either way. But the examples I'm giving are very, very volatile stocks during a very, very volatile time. I think it's very, very important that when you start investing in stocks, you got to take an easy approach to it. You got to take an approach where you are like, okay, now I'm just starting. Let me start with the lowest risk exposure. So for example, on our app, we give a lot of options for ETFs for people to invest in. And ETFs really help you diversify the money when you buy an ETF. So you're like different ETFs have different risk kind of structures, but you basically, when you invest money in an ETF versus investing money in a single stock, it's a very, very different scenario altogether. Putting money in S&P 500 for 500 companies versus putting in one company completely is a very, very different aspect, very, very different scenario. So I think it's very, very important that how you divide your money when you come to an app and you say, okay, like 90% of my money will go for long-term stocks, will go to a stocks which are either like ultra high market cap kind of stocks, which you really believe in and you feel like it's going to go up, plus ETFs, which you feel are stable ETFs, gives you stable kind of setup. There's some people who love dividends. So those people love to put money in dividend stocks and they want to have a safe kind of journey with those kind of stocks. So I think there are different kind of approaches how you want to do it. But I think it's very, very important that at the end of the day, you are not traders. Like, you have your job, you're working people. Like, at the end of the day, this is something where you want to keep your money as a safe spot, which also is not just a safe spot, but it also grows your money. And it grows better than banks grow your money, you know? So I think it's important that how you divide these like stocks or this money in a way that you divide long-term stock investments, you divide short-term stock investments, or maybe you keep some money which are more like, you are like, okay, I want to do learning. I want to learn different kinds of company. I want to read about them. I want to do small positions in them and see how they're doing and learn from them. Feel free, go ahead for it. But I think it's very important to have a long-term perspective as well in mind so that you have stability in terms of your portfolio if this is something you consider is the path for growing your money.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's a balanced approach, the one that you mentioned, which is you need to be aware of the risk first.
Yes.
And then as a beginner, you need to be, you need to take safe approach.
Yes.
In that sense. But you mentioned dividends, and you know the podcast is Finance for Non-Finance. We're trying to educate people about the basic terminologies across all the board. Can you elaborate more what is dividends? And then add to that the basic terms that I need to be aware of before starting this investment.
Okay, I think if you start with basic terms, there are lots of terms that you can start with within, like whether it be a PE ratio, whether it be an earnings call, whether it be dividends, and as I was talking about dividend reinvestments, I think all these terms have certain meaning related to a company, what like results they are kind of approaching, and like what they are announcing in their earnings calls, etc. So you get different aspects of companies at different points of time. I think it's important to kind of understand that when you hear these terms, it's not like to be scared or to kind of run away from these terms. Like, these terms at the end of the day have very simple meanings, you know? Like, you gotta just, like, that's what we do on our app, is like when you open like a stock page or you open like general guides, we'll give you like 4 or 5 sentences of each term. And we give you an image as well, kind of depicting, if we can depict some kind of thing that happens about those terms. So I think it's important to kind of read and understand those terms and then kind of take actions accordingly. Like, for example, when I talk about dividends, it's something that a company kind of gives out in terms of cash or stock. Now, if a company gives out something in terms of cash or stock, then there's a term that comes in, which is a dividend yield. So like, what is a dividend yield of a company? Now, what you need to be aware of is this kind of data is not just scattered, you know, like you search online, you will see that scattered data. Sometimes you will not get that data, so you are not aware if a company is actually giving dividends or it's not giving dividends or what's going on. So I think this is something also which we try to kind of solve on our app, is when you go to a stock page, you will see if this company give dividends. If they have been giving dividends, you will see in what form they have been giving dividends, and then you would see, okay, if they have given dividends for the last 4 times, what was the values of each time? Which month did they give it out on? Is there any planned dividend for the future? Then when we talk about dividend, there are multiple dates that come into aspect. What is a record date? What is a payable date? You know, what is an X date? You know, there are multiple kinds of dates which come in. So you need to know, okay, what X date is. These are just definitions. When it just becomes part of your life, you know, when you kind of read these things and you are into that product. But I think these details, if they're just like in front of your eyes on a product which you are easily able to understand and see, I think this takes no time for you to understand and, you know, like go ahead with it. Like, there's no rocket science. Like, it's like just something that you read in one line and you understand what's going on. Yeah.
Okay. A quick question that I share. For a non-finance person, non-investment background, you said you don't have to be even close by to be an expert. I agree with you in that. But if you have the basic understanding of the financials, at least. So when you decide to go for one company and then you check their balance sheet, income statement, cash flow, you see the previous year dividends in terms of value on all the percentages associated with that. You see some ratios in the balance sheet and the income statement. From a non-finance major, and you understand these, do you think that will make your investment journey easier than someone that doesn't have any understanding of the financials at all?
It's an interesting question. So I think somebody who, of course, has a knowledge about these terms, has a knowledge up to how to see these terms, can make better informed decisions sometimes, can actually, okay, like, if I am buying Apple and somebody else is kind of buying Apple, it's possible that both are putting money in Apple, but one understands why is he putting money in Apple. The other person has a vague idea of like, why is he putting money in Apple? So I think these aspects help you to take better decisions, especially when you're comparing different companies. So, but I would again say that these things come in for people if they understand these terms better. I think, of course, they can make more informed decisions. Of course, they can still make mistakes because nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. They can especially make more informed decisions about these kind of stocks. But I, again, like having said that, I mean that they have a more higher risk appetite as compared to other people. So they are, if they are more comfortable understanding these aspects of a company, they have a little bit better risk appetite to kind of put in their money in that sense. Whereas a person who's just a beginner might just feel, okay, if I'm not understanding these aspects very well right now, let me go into an ETF which has a low risk exposure. So I feel comfortable that I'm putting money which is more kind of spread across different kind of sectors of assets, etc., rather than putting money in one place where I'll have to, you know, like closely keep an eye on or something of that sort. Yeah.
Clear. So I love what you said, because you said that they will make a better informed decision.
Yes.
They can still make mistakes, which is fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's about the kind of knowledge that they can acquire to make an informed decision.
Yes,
agree with
yes.
you.
But having said that, one thing I want to add here is that this is not knowledge which you need to do courses for. Like, this is not knowledge which you need to read like thick books for. This is knowledge about reading, understanding a definition and going through it. Like, this is not something which requires a special education for. So this is something important to keep in mind, that this is something, if you understand, I think you will be better in finance in your life in day-to-day activities. You will be better in doing your own financing, like how you are buying a house, how you are keeping your finances in check. I think if you're good at these things, it will help you every aspect of your life in general.
Or simply listen to Finance for Non-Finance podcast. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Just... Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just listen to the podcast and you're good to go.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Okay. Giving your background, I cannot let you go before asking this question related to the AI. You have the technicalities. You used to write codes, you know.
I still do. Yeah.
You still do.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, given the AI and the revolutionary situation that we're facing now,
yeah.
Do you think AI will be impacting social investment platforms in the future?
It's a very, very interesting question.
Do you think AI can make a better informed decision when it comes to stocks, better than humans?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Okay. First of all, like, I am actually from a computer science background, so I love coding and I still do. I can't live without it. And I think it's important to know that AI is not just happened now. It's come into PR right now. Like, people have gone crazy, but people have been building models since ages. Like, when I was in college, like, I was working on text classification models in AI myself, you know, like, and this was years back. So AI has been there in place and a lot of people have been working towards it. Now, the form it's coming out in, I think the level it has reached is impeccable. Like, if you kind of use ChatGPT or if you use Google Bard and you kind of do communication and you see, I think the level of understanding of those kind of models has taken like a level which is just outstanding. You know, like, it's something that content generation. There are a lot of kind of different kind of aspects which it's coming into, and it's solving those kind of problems. I think when it comes to investing, I would say that I would not ask ChatGPT to tell me like stocks to invest in, whereas there has been studies where people are doing that and it's giving them good returns. Like there have been studies, like a lot of people are kind of doing and testing around it right now. But I think how it comes in handy for investing in general is in terms of your curiosity about a company or a curiosity about different kinds of questions that you want to know about certain companies. Like, for example, there are certain things I want to know, like, what was the last earnings call? I just want to read a summary for it. It's like a 20-page report. I don't have time to read 20-page report. Just summarize it for me and show it to me, you know? Or maybe I want to see how the stock price of a stock was impacted in terms by a particular kind of report. Or if I am seeing AI being a very big thing tomorrow, I can just ask like kind of a chat GPT that, can you please tell me, did this guy talk about AI in the whole earnings call or not? You know, this type of question. These kind of questions, nobody's going to answer you other than ChatGPT, you know? So I think ChatGPT or in general, or AI in general, like, has a great role in kind of further enhancing things around investing, giving you more kind of knowledge, making you understand things better, giving you more insights in a way that you can easily digest. So I think those streams are very, 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 very powerful to kind of come through. But I don't see I would say like just relying on the strategy. Like I might be sounding old school, but just relying on strategies done by analysis through ChatGPT might not be the best thing to go ahead with. It might be good to read about it, and might be good to further get into it and do your own research, but not just blindly follow it.
I'm just laughing because the perception, the reality of entrepreneurs, that they are out loud, forward. They never use old school. They are disruptive. Yeah. So this is the first time I hear from you that I'm a bit sounds an old school from an entrepreneur. I can be an old school, but you should not be an old school.
I'm not an old school in general in life. I just wanted to highlight that I don't think that right now, given the so much hype that's around, like it's a blind trust game that's happening right now. Like I think it's more of hype right now that everybody is going crazy about these models rather than, you know, just blindly trusting it at this point of time. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting discussion. I think we can exit the podcast with a quick advice for a person from a non-investing background, non-finance background, that still hesitant to start learning and exploring the social investment platforms and start their first $1. What kind of advice you would give, and what kind of push you would give to that person to start even exploring, not investing, their first $1 investment?
Sure. I think what I would say is it's very, very important to start and get into it and start learning, which doesn't mean that you need to put a lot of money, which doesn't mean that you have to put money to begin with. So I think you can take an approach which is more like kind of step approach, where you can like, okay, first step is I want to get into a platform which is more like I'm not promoting myself, but a social investing platform where I can get into it, and 1 month I'll just be on an observatory side. Like it's fine. Like if you're not feeling comfortable, just be on the observatory side. Or if you start feeling a bit confident, start with $1, as you're saying. You know, you don't need to put more money, you don't need to put $100, you don't need to put $10,000. You can just start with $1. Start with $1, put $1, let it become $1.50, let it become 50 cents, let it become whatever, you know. But start with it, and you see how that particular stocks perform. You see what people are doing. You are learning from people. You're learning the platform. I think as you continue usage of this platform, as you kind of see different aspects of things, different companies, I think it just increases your knowledge. It increases things. It creates your interest. It starts giving an impact to you that, okay, like there is this another side of world which I can be a part of, like which is easy, which doesn't require only rich people to be part of. So I think that's why it's important to start and then see if with small amount what happens. And I think, like as I was giving examples before, like this is a trend which I've seen with a lot of people on our app, where they actually start with small amounts and then you see them doing big transfers because then they feel comfortable that now I'm ready to kind of put in the money. So I think that one step is very, very important to get into it. And I think once you take that one step, the other steps just are automatically there for you.
After just recording this episode, I see how finance for non-finance goes hand in hand with the social investment. I think that's not only the first episode. Maybe we can have a further discussion in the future.
Yeah.
And personally, I have to say that I had the experience of social investing. And the minute you said that you keep the app open, especially the stock market open at 5
yeah.
p.m. our time. So after mainly working hours, so during the evening, you go and check and you see the trends. And I feel the heat out of the screen. The minute I see the green stocks and the red stocks, the risk and opportunities, you feel such an excitement. It keeps you awake. I agree with you. So what you just shared, Nitish, I think it's a great advice for people to start to rethink how they channel their time, how they channel their investment, and how to have a different perspective, especially in the fluctuating world as we speak now.
Yeah.
It was really a pleasure having you in Finance for Non-Finance, and I think you added so much value to me personally and to the audience. I wish you all the best, and definitely we're going to follow the news of you and your team, and from one success to other success. I hope all the best for you and for future expansion as well, so wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me, and looking forward to seeing your trades on my feed.
Take care. Soon.
Thank you.